Thank you. Anybody else? Great. Okay. So with that, I'm going to introduce Marilyn Golden, who's well known to many of you, and she's going to be speaking about TNC Access for All, and I'm going to give her a little introduction about her. Marilyn and I met first when the ADA was still being, when the regulations were being drafted, so close on 30 years ago. That's how far back we go. But this is her actual bio. Marilyn Golden is a senior policy analyst at Disability Rights Education and Defense Fund, or DREDIF, a leading national law and policy center on disability civil rights, with offices in Berkeley and in Washington, D.C. She's been closely involved with the ADA throughout all the stages of its proposal, passage, and implementation, specializing in transportation. She led the struggle for many of the policy victories during and since the ADA to improve transportation for people with disabilities. She has also authored or coordinated many transportation papers and reports and led numerous in-depth training programs on ADA transportation. Please join me in welcoming Marilyn.
Thank you, Richard. I really appreciate the chance to be here today with everyone. Is the volume all right?
Yeah,
it's great to be here to see old friends and connect with new people. I especially want to thank the riders who spoke earlier for their comments. It appears we all know what TNCs are, so I'm not going to define them, but I have a lot of other sort of acronyms I'll define as I go. The TNC Access for All Act passed the California legislature in 2018 in order to address the problem of the lack of wheelchair access to Uber and Lyft. Thanks for this law go in large part to its author, Senator Jerry Hill, and staff. Senator Hill is from the San Mateo, Silicon Valley area. Regulating TNCs in California has been assigned to the California Public Utilities Commission, or CPUC. That is not typical for states in general, and so it sort of inherently poses or is posing challenges even beyond the normal challenge, and I'm going to go ahead and just put this out there, the normal challenge of really squeezing anything out of TNCs that they don't want to do. But until the Hill Bill, as we call it, referring to Senator Hill, also known as SB 1376, until that point, the CPUC had actually done very little in the way of meaningful regulation of TNCs where disability access is concerned. The politics of this bill was that it needed the support of Uber and Lyft to win passage in the legislature. So the resulting law, which does address the need for on-demand transportation using wheelchair accessible vehicles, WAV or WAVES, is complicated by the provisions that had to be added in order to gain support from the TNCs. I want to explain the bill a little bit because I think some of us know a lot about it and others may know less. So I just want to bring us up to an even level and then tell you a little more about what's happening lately. The Act requires that a small fee be added to every TNC ride, that fee gets pooled in what's called a TNC Access for All fund to provide WAVE service, wheelchair accessible vehicle service. That much is not unusual and is in fact really similar to a model that's being used in a number of places across the country. Cities including Chicago, New Orleans, New York, Philadelphia, Portland, Seattle, D.C., as well as up in Washington State, the state as a whole. But the law has these other unusual characteristics due to the politics I mentioned before. It requires the CPUC to reduce the amount of money a TNC is required to pay into the fund if it meets certain requirements that the CPUC establishes. And these reductions are called, quote, offsets, quote, unquote, offsets. And it also, the law also allows exemptions for TNCs from paying the collected fees into the access fund at all if the TNC meets a level of waived service designated by the CPUC for a full year. So offsets and exemptions. The law also requires the CPUC to distribute funds from the TNC Access for All Act on a competitive basis to other local access providers that establish accessible on-demand transportation programs. That is a good thing. And it authorizes the CPUC to hire an independent entity to administer the program and complete a report to the legislature. So it's a bill that has a lot of baggage, really, to struggle through. And, you know, privately I had worried for some months back there that it might be a long shot to make the law really, really work. But of course we had to try. So my organization, DREDIF, the Disability Rights Education and Defense Fund, set to work with some other disability organizations, particularly Disability Rights California and the Center for Accessible Technology, as well as coordinating with some friends in the transit industry. And as I mentioned that, I just want to add, because it really should be well known, that groups in the transit industry have played a really important positive role with respect to this law from the beginning, particularly San Francisco Muni, as well as some of the Los Angeles commissions and agencies. They deserve a lot of credit. And other groups that have been involved, you know, just like the San Francisco Taxi Workers Alliance, and, you know, groups of all types have gotten involved. And perhaps because of similar perspectives among some of the groups I've mentioned, it turns out that the complex process of the CPUC developing regulations has actually had some real initial successes. It hasn't been easy, and the TNCs have really sort of argued very hard to sort of contain and restrain the extent of the requirements. But because of, you know, the parts of the transit industry that were involved, some of these other organizations, and the disability advocates, we are really hopeful that it actually will turn into a law that we can implement and see results from. So I want to say a little bit about what are these initial successes. The CPUC's approach to regulating is to develop rules in consecutive tracks, which I had never dealt with before. I had dealt with, you know, sort of the federal process and other processes, legislatures, where they sort of do it all at once. But the CPUC sets out certain issues, and it does a role, you know, a whole round of sort of a lot of back and forth, a lot of comments and replies and meetings, etc. Really gets the issues on the table. It resolves those, and then it moves on to another set of issues and another set of issues. So I say that just to give you a picture that where we are in the process is that we've finished with track one. And so in track one, the commission made two decisions that were really in agreement with my organization and those of us we're working with. One was to increase the fee on every TNC ride from the 5-cent minimum stated in the law to 10 cents, so doubled, pretty good. And also to make the program statewide rather than just in limiting it to the major urban areas of Los Angeles and the San Francisco Bay Area, as the TNCs had argued for. Interestingly, in the CPUC process, the CPUC staff also submits comments to the commission. And they've largely been supportive of the kind of program we would like to see, I'll say, as well. For example, they opposed averaging certain data in TNC data reports, which is good, because we know that averaging can mask problems. The latest development is that the CPUC has put out not a final decision, but their preliminary decision on track two. And it continues the general pattern of relatively favorable decisions. It's not that we love every word, but overall the tenor is really pretty good. For example, the CPUC wants data on an hourly basis as a critical data point, and let me quote them, particularly in evaluating the concern for stranded wave customers and whether such customers lack access to waves at certain times of day. People who work on paratransit know that, you know, stranding is an issue. You don't want to see a situation where the system will take a rider to a destination and they won't get a way to go home. So, you know, what can we say? We were pleased. I mean, I don't think the CPUC members were born knowing about stranded riders. You know, it sounds like they're learning. So we've been really pleased to see that. The CPUC said they were persuaded that any evaluation of what is a reasonable wave response time had to consider response times for the general public. Duh, right? Something obvious to us. But the TNCs had argued hard against that standard, so we were glad to see that. The CPUC proposed provisions for thorough wave driver training, and we all know how important that is. Where am I? Yeah. The CPUC declared that the number and type of complaints that TNCs receive from people, from riders, is an important metric to evaluating the effectiveness of their wave program. Again, a good thing. The CPUC recognized that some of the access providers, these are the providers that are not TNCs, but will be contracted with access funds monies, particularly, I expect anyway, in smaller cities and in rural areas. The CPUC recognized that some of those, like small providers, may not have the resources of the larger TNCs and may not be able to provide as sort of demanding and extensive a level of data. So that's something we're glad to see. Another point that may particularly interest our hosts today is that the CPUC has been clear that it does not itself have the administrative capacity to fully implement this law, to really, you know, do all the evaluations and distribute all the funding and take in all the money and, you know, evaluate, you know, all of that. They may not be able to go to every California county and do that. That's not who the CPUC is. They're one agency in Sacramento and San Francisco with, you know, local offices, but they're not, you know, permeated throughout the state. So then the question was, who will the CPUC turn to for assistance? Who will they contract with? We have been arguing that local groups, including county transportation commissions, if they want to, should be allowed and paid to do things such as help assess the qualifications of local access providers that apply from their county, helping, you know, would help distribute the funding and so forth. We commented to the CPUC that California networks of MPOs, Metropolitan Planning Organizations, and also the RTPAs, which as I understand are like the MPOs for rural areas, and the County Transportation Commissions are you know, we don't know them all, you know, intimately or anything like that, but that in many cases, these organizations are quite knowledgeable about disability transportation access. This was, you know, seemed obvious to us. But the TNCs argued that since some entities in those categories had submitted comments to the CPUC that at times disagreed with the TNC position in this rulemaking, that such agencies are therefore biased and not able to equitably distribute transit benefits, for example. We, of course, disagreed with that contention. And in their preliminary decision, the CPUC did too. So we were happy to see that. So within a year, you know, 2 years or so, some of you, depending on what kind of groups you're from, you know, if you want to, may be helping implement this program. No one can say yet exactly how it's going to work. That it's too soon for that. But at least the groundwork for this possibility is getting established. What lies ahead is more back and forth until the CPUC issues a final decision on track 2, and then there's a track 3. One of the biggest issues that's not yet been decided is how public the data that TNCs must submit will be required to be. We, of course, have been promoting the importance that this data be made public. The TNCs have argued against it, and we hope it will be resolved in such a way that the data will be public, which is really very, very important. And that's where we are.
Great. Thanks, Marilyn. So, if you want to, you can. So thank you to Marilyn for giving us the legislative context and very up-to-date information, since she's actually involved directly in that. So there's a lot of information there. It was quite dense. If anybody has clarifying questions, we'll take two. Yes, please. Just a clarification, right?
Yeah, just a clarification. So is it true that this fee is being captured in every place in California?
Or is it only currently being done in certain cities?
Repeat your first sentence.
I'm wondering if this fee is currently being taken out for all TNCs and throughout California, or whether it's currently only being done in certain cities.
Well, that's a good question. When it begins to be taken out, it's required to be taken out everywhere. So the position of the CPUC, and this is a decided matter, one of the few decided matters, that the program is the same statewide. So there's no part of the state that goes ahead of, I mean, there could be a part of the state where it's not complied with as well, and we all know that compliance varies. But in terms of what's required, it's the whole state. Now, I don't have my computer, and I'm trying to remember exactly what month they had to start taking out the fee. And I think it's
July.
It's right. I was going to say the summer. And right. And so this gives some evidence of thank you, San Francisco Muni, for taking the lead on this law. So it's being taken. So it should be being taken out. Now, it's supposed to be transparent. You know, if you take an Uber ride, they don't give you a piece of paper listing, like, it's not like your phone bill, right? They don't list, like, where every 7 cents goes to. So you don't really see it, but it is supposed to be being taken out.
One more question.
I wanted to ask the question on that 10-cent thing. Is that per mile, or is it just per ride, or?
That is per ride, and that's everybody. There has been, you know, sometimes when we've spoken, this is a complicated law. I find it so anyway. I'm always trying to keep up. So there, some people thought we were saying that people with disabilities had to pay a fee specifically, or the wheelchair users had to pay a fee, but no, it's everybody that takes a ride with Uber, Lyft, or any, there's other TNCs too, by the way. every rider on a TNC, what they, the fee that they pay for the ride includes 10 cents to go towards this fund. And I just realized something that I didn't cover, I just want to throw in. I mean, I appreciate that in this week today, we have, you know, people who are representing, you know, a broad spectrum of the disability community. And this law focuses so much on wheelchair access. And, you know, it could be thought that, you know, why is the legislature just focusing on wheelchair access? And the reason Senator Hill did this bill in the way that he did it was because he thought that, I'm not going to allege that it's perfect, but that, you know, many people had felt at that time that many, you know, that Uber and Lyft and other TNCs had, to some great degree, already addressed, shown it was possible to address a lot of the access needs of some of the other disability groups. And it was wheelchair users that really weren't being served in a glaring way. And that's why Senator Hill focused on wheelchair users in this bill, in this law.
Great. Thanks, Marilyn.